God, who does he think he is? That's the title of our homily series that starts this weekend and continues for the next number of weekends. A homily series, what's that? It simply means that the homilies over the next handful of weekends, so we got it up here, good. The homilies over the next couple weekends are going to have a common thread, a common theme. They're going to revolve around this question, God, who does he think he is? Now, yes, the title of this homily series, which is a question, almost as a statement though, has a negative tone to it, almost disrespectful. Or disrespectful, yeah. But that's what people are asking. And so Father Steve and I want to answer this question, and the Gospels this weekend and the following weekend shed light on this statement. Now in the Gospel, Jesus starts by asking the question, who do people say that I am, to his disciples? Now he's not saying this because he lacks self-esteem and he needs people to boost him up. You know, who am I? He throws it out there. He wants the disciples to articulate, what have you heard? He turns to his disciples and says more directly to them, who do you say that I am? Essentially saying, is your understanding of me any different than anyone else's? And Peter comes forward and says, you are the Christ. Now, in another gospel account, gives the fuller statement and Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So one way to answer the question, God, who does he think he is? Well, Jesus is the Christ, and which reveals kind of the Trinitarian nature of God. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity to become man. That's who God is. We're done with the series. Good night. Sorry, Chris and Nate. But the question, God, who does he think he is, gets more at the question of not just his name, but what is God really like? The last two weekends in the 60 seconds to connect the video announcements, there were a number of tweets that were from real tweets, and one of them is actually listed up there in the upper left, right corner, my left, your right, and it says, that tweet says, I am sure that we don't believe in the same God because my God would never allow any of this. Don't strain yourself. I know it's small up there. My God would never allow any of this. Whatever this is, what does this refer to? Most likely, most often, it refers to suffering and evil. So put in, my God would never allow any of this, namely suffering or evil. Put another way, a good God and suffering are incompatible for me. I could ask the ushers to please lock the doors as I spend the next 3 hours giving a treatise on the problem of evil and the mystery of suffering. But this is a homily, not a 3-credit course, so I won't do that. For now, much of the core of the problem of suffering evil is hinted at in our second reading in the letter of James, where he says, a person who ignores his brother or sister in need of food or clothing. You're not demonstrating, you're not living out your faith. It's pointing at the reality is that much of the evil in our world is caused by you and me, other humans. We can choose to do evil, we can choose to do good. God's given us free will. I wonder, well, why God, did you give us free will if this was an option? Because free will opens the door, the opportunity for you and me to enter into personal relationships with other persons and with God himself. And even though evil is a possibility in that, God wanted to give each one of us that opportunity to love, to be loved, and to live in love. Well, your God may allow evil and suffering, but my God wouldn't. I'm sure we don't believe in the same God. Now, statements like these about your God versus my God aren't really saying my conception of God is different than your conception of God. In the gospel, Jesus' identity as the Christ is revealed, and then he goes on to explain his mission. I'm going to suffer, die, rise on the third day. And Peter rebukes him turn Jesus aside, essentially, Jesus, your conception of who God becoming man doesn't jive with what I want you to be. Jesus, that's not the way you're to be like. Now imagine a friend or acquaintance introducing you to someone new. You know, they introduce your name and then they go farther. They start saying some things that you like, you dislike. They say some things that aren't necessarily entirely true. In that case, I'd want to step forward and say, hey, let me speak for myself. And that's when Jesus rebukes Peter. He's essentially saying to Peter, Peter, let me, God, speak for myself, who I am. Peter, for you to truly follow me and to have a proper understanding of who I am, you need to deny that false understanding, that false conception you have of me. Peter, get behind me if you want to follow me. Otherwise, you're going to be following your own preconceived notion of me. Peter, I created you in my image. It does you no good to try to create me in your image. But I'm sure we don't believe in the same God. Well, my conception of God, your conception of God, our image of God can be off at times. But that openness to allowing the Lord, help fill that out. Instead of being fixated on a difficulty in the faith, one of the mysteries, particularly evil suffering is one of those that people can get fixed on, and they don't see anything else in the picture. Yes, evil is a mystery, suffering is a mystery, so is free will, so is God become man, so is God become man to enter into you, into your suffering with you, to be with you in that. But you and I won't experience God being with us in those difficult moments if we're fixated on one difficulty. It's almost like trying to juggle balls, and then you stop and just focus on one of the balls. All the other ones are going to fall on the ground. That's what it's like focusing merely on evil and not seeing the beauty of these other mysteries. Free will, God becoming man, wanting to reach out to you and me. It's that importance of juggling all those things and realizing, okay, God, show me how this all connects together in your time and how this connects to my life and your plan for me. My God would never allow that. Well, let's let God say who he is and have what he says inform our conception of who God is. Because that may require that I have to deny some aspect of a false conception I have of God. So it lines up with who God really is. God, who does he think he is? Well, let's ask him. What does God say about himself? God says, I am a God who allows suffering so that I can lovingly embrace you in your suffering. That's the mystery. The mystery that we're invited to enter into. Lord God, we ask that you open our minds, our hearts, to receive your grace, to let you form our image of you properly in accord with who you really are, so that we can invite you into all of our life, our joys, our difficulties.